Good evening. Try this again. So I don't break your eardrums. Would you turn in your Bibles again, please, this evening to the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ. This morning we began to consider that phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ. We notice, first of all, the meanings of the word unsearchable and the meaning of the word riches. How that the word unsearchable meant something that had no boundaries, whose boundaries could not be determined or comprehended. And our example was that of outer space. It seems once or twice a year, you read in the paper that scientists have discovered a new star. Not that it just came into being, but they just developed equipment that was powerful enough to see that far. These stars, they say, the light from them has taken thousands of years traveling at the speed of light to reach this earth. The immense size of this universe is something that we as men, as far as we have come, are still unable to comprehend. We can't set the boundaries. We can't draw a line around it as we can the United States and say this here is outer space. And that is the sense of the word unsearchable. Then we reminded ourselves that that word riches does not necessarily refer just to material wealth, but can refer to anything which has, of which there is an abundance or a fullness of. Paul told the Colossians that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we put those two words together, we have a fullness that can't be fathomed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one of these unsearchable riches that we considered together was that of his personal wealth, and that he who was rich, as creator of the universe, the one who owned the title deed to everything in the universe, laid it all aside and became poor, that we, who are poor, might be rich. And then we considered the unsearchable riches of his love. The love that motivated him to leave all the glories of heaven and take on himself the likeness of man and go all the way to Calvary's cross for you and for me. The love that motivated him to suffer at the hands of sinful men and endure the wrath of a righteous God so that you and I might never face the judgment for our sins. And then briefly we considered the unsearchable riches of his friendship. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs he bore. Those words are so easy for us to sing because he is such a faithful friend. Despite all my failures, despite all my weaknesses, despite all my shortcomings, all the times I have let him down, he is a friend that hath remained faithful. I'd like to continue from that point this evening. To continue to consider the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Exodus chapter 33, we read that the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. We don't always speak face to face to one another. But usually when we're speaking to a friend, it's face to face. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. I would like to consider as our next unsearchable riches, the unsearchable riches of his voice. We were reminded this morning in our morning meeting that his testimony of his voice while he was on this earth was this: never, never, never man spoke like this man. Oh, the gracious words that came from the mouth of my Savior. What it must have been to hear his voice. He never lost any of his authority as the Son of God. You remember how amazed his disciples were that even the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. But there is another side to that coin. Mary was outside his tomb and she was weeping. The greatest tragedy of her lifetime had just taken place. Not only had they crucified her Lord, but now she thought they had hidden his body. It was more than Mary could bear. The weight of the tragedy bore down on her and was squeezing the tears from her very soul. We've got a promise in His Word that says You'll never give us a burden that's too heavy to bear. This burden that Mary was under was greater than she could bear. She was at the end of a rope. And she was there at the outside of that tomb and she was weeping. And He appeared to her. And He spoke her name. All He said was this, Mary. Can you feel the relief? Can you feel the rush of peace that flows through Mary as she realizes who's standing before her, who just spoke her name? Mary. The unsearchable riches of His voice. Next was a little room. And in that little room were a handful of men scared half to death. The doors and the windows were bolted shut. And He appears in their midst. And He says, peace be unto you. Oh, to hear and just say that word, peace. There was a pair that were walking along a dusty road to the city of Emmaus. And their hearts were heavy. Much of the sorrow and fear that Mary and that handful of men knew were weighing down on them also. Remember, He draws alongside. And in tones of gentleness and compassion, He explains from the Scripture the things concerning Himself. From Genesis and to Revelation, sometimes I wonder if I had my choice to be in one of those places, which one I'd pick. Stand on the side of the Red Sea. With a group of Israelites as the Egyptians were running hard on their back and watched the almighty power of God part that water. Standing on a little hillside beside a little brook and watch a little shepherd boy take 5 stones from that brook and go up against the giant that all the armies of Israel were petrified of and watch him drop that giant with just 1 stone. Stand behind or beside a furnace that was heated so hot that the men that were standing outside were killed. And watch 3 young Israelites be cast into that furnace for their testimony watch them come out without so much as a hair on their arm, being saints. I think perhaps, though, of all the places in the entire Bible, my favorite might be on that road to Emmaus. And hear the voice of God Himself in human language. Open to me the Scriptures and explain the things concerning Himself. What a trip that must have been. To hear from His voice, why He must suffer. In an eternity past, I could see you. I could see you born into a race that had fallen into sin. I could see that your only chance for survival was if I was to take on myself the form of a man and go all the way to Calvary's cross for you. Oh, to hear that from His lips. But then He left them. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and there He was taken up from them. But after He was gone, their hearts weren't as filled with sorrow as they had been that first Easter morning. Because once again, they could remember hearing His voice. And this time He said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and take you to be forever with myself." Can you imagine how it must have been in those days just after He left, for them to sit around and remind each other of the words the Son of God had spoken in their ears. Later on, because they remained faithful, they would suffer persecution, the likes of which they had never known before. And in the darkest hour of their trial, perhaps while the pain was the greatest, perhaps as they were standing in the valley of death, they hear his voice again. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, the unsearchable riches of his voice. You and I have not heard that voice. You and I can only imagine what it must have been like. But is there anyone here that would give up the privilege they have of being able to commune with him as friend to friend? When my soul is faint and thirsty, 'neath the shadow of his wings, there is cool and pleasant shelter and a fresh and crystal spring. And my Savior rests beside me as we hold communion sweet. If I tried, I could not utter what he says when thus we meet. Only this I know. I tell him all my doubts and griefs and fears. Oh, how patiently he listens. And my drooping soul, he cheers. Do you think he ne'er reproves me? But a false friend he would be if he never, never told me of the sins which he must see. The secret of his presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the moments which I spend at Jesus' side. And what about our hope? We don't only have times of communion here to look forward to. Because one day we're going to hear his voice. We know with all surety we are going to hear his voice. I used to work in New York City. And I got quite accustomed to hearing many sounds. You could stand on a subway platform as a train pulled in. You couldn't even hear yourself think. On the streets surrounded by millions and millions of people, sometimes you could hear children laughing. Sometimes you could hear adults fighting. Once in a while you could even hear a couple shouting at each other. The longer you were there, the more it just blended together. And as hard as it might seem to believe, you got used to the noise to the point where you didn't even hear it. But I do not have to fear about ever missing His voice. And I know for a fact that whether I am alive or whether my body has been put in the ground, that above the drone of the noise of this world, one day I'm going to hear Him say, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then, to hear from His lips, the lips of my Lord and Savior, the lips that spoke the universe into being, the lips that did not even utter a whisper as He suffered for my sake. Oh, to hear from those lips, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Certainly, we can agree that the riches of His voice are unsearchable. I'd like to consider next the unsearchable riches of His person. It's a subject that's so vast, it's really hard to tell where to start. It's a subject that no matter what you say, you wish you had remembered to say something else. I just want to consider 3 points concerning the riches, the unsearchable riches of His person. They're taken from the description of the bridegroom in the Song of Songs. His head is as most fine gold. His hands are as gold rings set in beryl. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. We all know that gold in Scripture speaks of the glory of God. From the human perspective, It speaks of something that is of great value. Reminds me of what Peter said, unto you who believe, he is precious. His head is as most fine gold. You can buy gold that is 10 carat gold. You can buy gold that is 14 carat gold. You can buy gold that is 18 carat gold. The higher the number, the purer the gold. The highest number, 24 carat gold. Pure gold. Absolutely pure gold. His head is his most fine gold. Again, we were directed towards this morning at our morning meeting. Scientists have discovered that brain waves travel at the speed of light. So if I put my hand on a hot stove, it doesn't take long for my brain to remind my muscles they better act quickly. In a blink, a thought can pass through your mind. Traveling at the speed of light, the time it takes for a brain wave to go from this side of my head to this side of my head is probably a length of time that is so small it can't be measured. I don't know about you. But it doesn't take long for an evil thought to pass through my mind. As hard as I might try, almost before I can react, the thought can be there. And in a head of most fine gold, while he walked this pathway, not once in some 33 years did one single evil thought ever enter his mind. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's unsearchable. To be subjected to what he was subjected to at the hands of what to him was nothing more than piles of dust. And all he had to do was think, and the suffering would be over. for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. What went through his mind as he hung on that cross? His body dehydrating. His heart melting in the midst of his bowels. Every bone out of joint. Physical pain that you and I probably will never know. What went through his mind? As he knew full well that the pain he was enduring then was nothing compared to the wrath of God he was about to endure. What went through his mind? What went through his mind as on his holy, spotless, sinless body, every sin that had ever been committed was laid on him. What was he thinking about? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then there was his mother. Oh, the grief she must have been going through. Mother, behold thy son. John, I want you to take good care of her. She's my mother. These words were spoken from the cross. And then at his side was a thief. A man who was hanging there, and rightly so. This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, his head is as much fine gold. And what about his hands? Every work that those blessed hands ever accomplished in this life was for the glory of his Father. Oh, to feel the touch of those hands. How we used to take the little children and pick him up and put him on his knee. How he took the mud from off the ground and rubbed him on the blind man's eyes. What a gentle touch he had. Hands of most fine gold. Never a work, not one work, that ever displeased his Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I, for one, know there were a lot of times my father couldn't say that about me. But those works came from hands of gold. And now, the outstretched, nail-pierced hands of the Savior as He bids the sinner come. These wounds are here because of you. Come and know the forgiveness of God. His hands as rings of gold. His feet, they're of fine gold also. Not one step ever out of line. Never was he out of step with his Father's will. He lived in a day when there were no cars. There wasn't public transportation. For 33 years, to get any place, he put one foot in front of the other. And oh, the footprints that he left behind. Perfect in every sense. From head to toe, he glorified his Father. Oh, the unsearchable riches of his person. Is there any wonder why the Apostle Paul says, I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord? Can you hear him in that Roman jail? Cold, damp, lonely. What's he say? Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Is there any wonder why his prayer, his children in the faith at Ephesus, went something like this? Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Is there any wonder why He counted it such a privilege to be a bearer of the glad tidings to the nation? Oh, the privilege of telling a sinner on his way to hell about the unsearchable riches. Can we argue with what He told the saints of Rome? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you want to know something else that is unsearchable, listen to the words of John to his little children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, you and I are going to be like the blessed Son of God. For we shall see Him as He is.
I can't fathom that.
But oh, that he might draw out my heart. Oh, that he might draw me a little closer to himself. That I might lose sight of the things of time and sense. And by the grace of God, in the days I have left on this earth, oh, that I might know him and his unsearchable riches. And that I might be willing to share of what I know with some one who as yet knows not the Savior, has never experienced the unsearchable riches of his voice, the unsearchable riches of his love, the unsearchable riches of his person, the unsearchable riches of his friendship. And oh, that I might be able to see past the cares and the shortcomings and the failures and the weaknesses of my fellow believers. And be taken up with them in the enjoyment of the things of Christ, for his honor and for his glory. Shall we pray? Father, again we thank thee for thy word, for all that it reveals to us of thee and of thy Son. Father, most of all, we thank thee for that blessed, wonderful man of Calvary who has won our hearts from us. Father, we just pray that in the days that lie ahead, our lives will in some small way bring honor and glory to that blessed man, that the world around us might see in our lives that Christ indeed is preeminent. May it be so, Father, for thy honor and for thy glory. We thank thee in his worthy and precious name. Amen.